Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take a stack of information, strip away the noise, and hand you the most potent insights. Think of it as your shortcut to truly understanding what's going on. Have you ever downloaded an app that seemed promising, only to find it clunky, crashed at the worst possible moment, or was just plain impossible to figure out? Or perhaps you've encountered that rare piece of software that just works, you know, reliably, gracefully, unbackdates seamlessly. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on why some software thrives and some utterly fails. We're diving into the hidden principles that separate the exceptional from the infuriating.
Precisely. We're not just talking about whether a program functions, but how well it truly performs in the wild. We're going to unpack three critical pillars of software evaluation that underpin all great design: usability, maintainability, and robustness. These aren't just technical terms for developers, they're vital concepts for anyone who uses apps daily, manages projects, or even dreams of building the next big thing.
Okay, so our mission today is to break down what each of these terms truly means, why they matter deeply to your experience, and how to spot them in action. We'll even look at a specific example, the Music Fans program, to see how these criteria apply in a real-world scenario. So let's unpack this and get to the core of what makes software truly great.
Let's start with usability. At its core, usability isn't just about whether a user can complete a task. It's about whether they can complete it effortlessly, you know, without thinking too hard. A truly usable program feels like an extension of your own will, not a hurdle. It's about making the interaction as smooth and effective as possible from your perspective.
That makes perfect sense. I think we've all experienced that frustration when an error message is completely unhelpful, or maybe a form is simply impossible to navigate. On the flip side, when an app just clicks, it's such a relief. So beyond just a smooth feeling, what does usability actually encompass?
Well, it's a broad umbrella. It covers the general user interface, how things look, they're laid out on the screen, also the clarity of user prompts, and even the presence of helpful screens or intuitive feedback. Think about the apps you return to again and again versus those you quickly delete. Often, the difference is profound usability. For instance, when you're filling out a form and the prompts are clear, guiding you step by step, that's usability in action. Or when an error message doesn't just say error, but actually tells you what went wrong and maybe how to fix it. What's fascinating here is how deeply usability is tied to the intended user. So for example, if we look at something like the Deciding Grades program, it's a simpler text-based interface. Its design uses clear placeholders. These are essentially visual cues, like little markers showing you exactly where dynamic info, like a number or a student's name and grade, will appear. This simple, direct approach makes it unambiguous for the developer and, by extension, the user, what to expect. The key here is that the design of any user interface should always consider the end user's age, their experience level, their technical ability. This impacts everything, like the level of language used for inputs and outputs. Beyond that, a truly user-friendly interface should be consistent, you know, similar functions grouped together. It should provide protection from error by giving warnings for critical events, like accidentally deleting data. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
And it absolutely must be accessible, compatible with tools like text readers or offering high contrast displays for diverse needs.
So usability is really about anticipating the user's needs and guiding them seamlessly.
Got it.
But what happens after that initial release? Software isn't a set it and forget it kind of deal, is it? Programs evolve, bugs appear, new features are always on the horizon. That brings us to our next crucial pillar, maintainability. This sounds like it's about making sure the software doesn't fall apart over time, but I imagine it's more nuanced than that.
You're spot on. That's part of it, yes. But maintainability is primarily about how easy it is to make alterations to the program, whether that means fixing bugs, adding entirely new features, or adapting the software to new operating systems or environments. Think of maintainability as like an insurance policy for your software. A well-structured program isn't just cheaper to fix. It's an investment that pays dividends in adaptability, innovation, and it drastically reduces the headaches for future development teams.
Okay, this is incredibly practical, especially for anyone who's ever had to pick up where someone else left off, whether it's software code or just, I don't know, a disorganized project folder full of messy notes versus a well-organized file system. What actually makes code maintainable in practice?
Well, there are two main factors that truly underpin maintainability. First, the readability of the code. This isn't just about whether it works, but whether a human can easily understand what it's trying to do. This includes using meaningful identifiers for variables, arrays, module names, so customer name instead of just X makes a huge difference.
Right.
It also involves internal commentary, brief notes embedded in the code that explain complex sections or logical decisions, and crucially, proper indentation and the strategic use of whitespace. That makes the code visually clear and scannable. If the code is clear, it's exponentially easier for the original author, or maybe more importantly, a new team member, to understand, debug, and work with it. Without this, even a simple change can feel like navigating a maze blindfolded. It's tough.
Okay, readability is key. What's the second factor?
The second major factor is modularity. This refers to the extent to which a program is subdivided into separate, self-contained sub-programs or components, often called functions or procedures that communicate through proper parameter passing. Think of it like building with Legos versus pouring a single monolithic block of concrete. If you want to change one small part of your concrete structure, well, you might have to tear down the whole thing. With Legos, you just swap out a piece. Easy.
Ah, so instead of one giant interconnected block of code where a change in one spot might unpredictably break something else entirely, you have smaller, independent pieces.
Precisely. And this has several immense advantages. First, less code has to be written overall because individual procedures can be reused in multiple places. Very efficient. Small teams or even individual developers can deal with small, manageable parts of the code simultaneously. And perhaps most importantly, errors can be easily identified and isolated because they are localized to a specific module. That makes debugging much faster and, frankly, less painful. These benefits directly contribute to the ease of making alterations, thus dramatically improving a program's maintainability.
That's fascinating. I can definitely see why developers would care deeply about maintainability. But for me as a user, why should I care if the underlying code is maintainable? Does it actually impact my user experience, or is it purely a developer's concern hidden away?
That's a fantastic point, and it absolutely impacts you directly. It really does. While it's often invisible, poor maintainability has a direct, tangible impact on the user. If a program is hard to maintain, it means it takes longer and costs more to fix bugs. That leads to a buggier experience for you. Simple as that. It also means that new features you might be asking for or updates to keep up with new technology will be slower to arrive, if they arrive at all. A maintainable program is a program that can adapt, evolve, and stay relevant, which means you get a better, more current, and more reliable product over its lifetime.
Okay, that connection makes a lot of sense now. Better maintainability leads to a better long-term product for me.
Exactly. And that brings us to the final pillar, and one that often causes the most immediate frustration for users: robustness. This reflects how well a program copes with errors during execution, when things go wrong. A truly robust program should ideally never crash, never freeze, and never give you a cryptic, unhelpful message, even when confronted with unexpected conditions or, say, incorrect input.
Oh, we've all been there. That moment of dread when an app just freezes, or a program gives that dreaded and unexpected error occurred message. So frustrating. So how does a program achieve that level of resilience, that robustness?
It's largely about anticipation. It's about the developer trying to think of all the ways things could go wrong and then building in safeguards proactively. This includes coping with what we call exceptional data. For example, if a program expects a number for an input, but the user accidentally types in text instead, like their name. Robustness is about validating all inputs and ensuring the program doesn't break under pressure. Think of it like a bouncer at a club, maybe, making sure only the right kind of data gets in, and politely but firmly turning away anything that could cause trouble inside.
Huh. Okay, the bouncer analogy works. So what are the key techniques?
Well, key ways to guard against incorrect input and thus bolster robustness include implementing rigorous error checking code, often in the form of input validation algorithms. This means actively checking if the input meets all the required criteria, not just some of them. Also, using built-in functions to convert data types where appropriate can help. For instance, if you expect a whole number but the user might enter a decimal, the program can sometimes automatically round it down or convert it to an integer using a function, preventing a crash. Finally, a clever design choice in the user interface can dramatically increase robustness. If users select items from a drop-down list or a menu rather than freely typing in values, you've already reduced the chance of invalid input significantly.
That proactive approach sounds like a real game changer for stability. Can you give us a concrete example of robustness in action from our source material, maybe with that Music Fans program?
Absolutely. The Music Fans program is a perfect illustration of this. Its functional requirements state that the number of tickets input must be an integer between 3 and 6. Okay. Now, the program's design goes the extra mile to ensure this. It includes a specific validation process. It rigorously checks if the number of tickets is not only within the acceptable range, 3 to 6, but also if it's a whole, complete number. It prevents users from entering decimals, even if they try.
So it catches things like 4.5.
Exactly. And if the input is invalid, say you type in Terry or 4.5 instead of a valid number, the program doesn't just crash. That's the key. Instead, it displays a specific helpful error message. Sorry, that is not valid number of tickets. Please enter a value between 3 or 6. Clear instruction. This immediate feedback, combined with the program continuing to prompt you until valid input is received, is a prime example of robustness in action. The test plan for this program even includes exceptional data like Terry or 4.5 specifically to try and break the program, ensuring it can handle incorrect data types or values outside the defined range without failing. It gives you a smooth, uninterrupted experience.
Okay, great example. So now that we understand what usability, maintainability, and robustness truly mean, let's bring it all together. Let's apply these evaluation criteria directly to our core example, the Music Fans program. How would we assess it using these three lenses?
Okay, let's do it. For usability, we'd primarily look at its text-based user interface, as we discussed. The prompts it uses, like please enter the name of a fan, Hag, and those clear, informative error messages like, sorry, that is not valid number of tickets. They're highly straightforward. For its context, likely a simpler, maybe console-based application, this direct clarity is good usability. It avoids confusion. However, we might also ask, for this specific audience of music fans, is a purely text-based interface truly optimal? Or would maybe a simple graphical prompt with visual cues enhance engagement without overcomplicating things? The key is always, does it meet the user's expectations for clarity and ease of use in that specific context?
Makes sense. Context is everything for usability.
What about maintainability?
Right.
When considering maintainability, the Music Fans program demonstrates very good design intent. It really does. It wisely utilizes distinct separate functions for specific tasks, such as validate num tickets for handling input checks and decide winner for the core logic of determining the winner. We mentioned modularity earlier.
The Legos.
Exactly. The Legos. This modularity means that if the rules for validating ticket numbers were to change in the future, or maybe the method of deciding a winner needed adjustment, a programmer could go directly to that specific function, alter it, and test it in isolation. They wouldn't have to sift through a huge, tangled block of code, reducing the risk of introducing new bugs elsewhere. Much safer. This approach directly contributes to the ease and safety of making future alterations, making the program highly maintainable.
Okay, good modularity leads to good maintainability. And finally, robustness. How does it stack up there?
And finally, for robustness, the Music Fans program really shines. It's a strong point. It explicitly demonstrates its resilience through its rigorous input validation for the number of tickets. It doesn't just check if the number is within the specified range of 3 to 6. It also confirms it's a whole number, like we said. More importantly, its design includes a structured response to invalid input. It doesn't crash. That's crucial. Instead, it provides those clear, helpful error messages and continues to prompt the user until valid input is finally provided. The fact that its test plan even includes that exceptional data, deliberately entering Terry or 4.5, to ensure the program correctly rejects these inputs without failing, that's a testament to its robust nature. This proactive handling of potential errors makes the program highly reliable against common user mistakes, ensuring a smooth, uninterrupted experience for you, the user.
What an incredibly insightful deep dive. It's abundantly clear now that evaluating software goes far, far beyond just whether it works in a basic sense. Usability, maintainability, and robustness are truly the bedrock, kind of the hidden pillars, of quality software that feels effortless, adapts over time, and handles unexpected situations gracefully.
Indeed. And understanding these concepts allows us, even as users, to appreciate the underlying design principles that make our digital world function smoothly, reliably, and adaptably. It shifts our perspective from simply consuming technology to understanding the craft and, frankly, the foresight that goes into building truly effective tools.
So here's a final thought for you, our listeners, to mull over. How might you apply these principles of making something user-friendly, easy to adapt, and resilient to errors, not just to software, but to any process or system you encounter in your own life, whether it's organizing your personal files, setting up a new routine, or even designing a simple presentation? Thinking about usability, maintainability, and robustness can transform a clunky experience into something truly elegant.
That's some good food for thought. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Until next time, keep learning, keep asking the important questions, and keep an eye out for those hidden design principles all around you.